Welcome to Canadian Politique. I'm Cameron Bishop.
I'm Leanne Goodman.
I'm Mike McDougall.
Well, today on the show, we're going to be talking about the confirmation hearings and sexual assault allegations against U.S. Supreme Court nominee Judge Brett Kavanaugh. And the Governor General seems to hate her job. Is it time for her to go? But first, lots of stuff has been going on in the United States the last 48 hours over the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the U.S. Supreme Court. Kavanaugh has been accused of sexual assault back 35 years ago when he attended a party. Yesterday, Kavanaugh was back before the Senate Judiciary Committee, as was his accuser, Christine Blasey Ford, who is a psychology professor in California. I thought that what we might do before we start talking, because there's a lot of things going on, the Senate Judiciary Committee just today, just a few minutes ago, actually voted to advance the Kavanaugh nomination. But Senator Jeff Flake, who had earlier in the day said that he was going to vote in favor of the nomination, seems to have negotiated some sort of a potential deal that would see the full Senate vote delayed by up to a week so that the FBI can investigate claims made against Judge Kavanaugh. I want to just kind of clip through what happened yesterday at the Senate Judiciary Committee, and then we will have a chat and we'll intersperse as well some other clips. But before we get going, guys, here is kind of a summary of what happened yesterday.
I drank one beer. Brett and Mark were visibly drunk. I was pushed from behind into a bedroom across from the bathroom. I couldn't see who pushed me. Brett and Mark came into the bedroom and locked the door behind them. I was pushed onto the bed, and Brett got on top of me. Brett groped me and tried to take off my clothes. He had a hard time because he was very inebriated and because I was wearing a one-piece bathing suit underneath my clothing. I believed he was going to rape me. I tried to yell for help. When I did, Brett put his hand over my mouth to stop me from yelling. It was hard for me to breathe, and I thought that Brett was accidentally going to kill me.
Ford, a psychologist, sometimes relied on clinical terms to describe her experience.
What is the strongest memory you have? Strongest memory of the incident, something that you cannot forget.
Indelible in the hippocampus is the laughter, the uproarious laughter between the two, and they're having fun at my expense.
With what degree of certainty do you believe Brett Kavanaugh assaulted you?
100%.
My family and my name have been totally and permanently destroyed by vicious and false additional accusations. I was not at the party described by Dr. Ford. This confirmation process has become a national disgrace. Since my nomination in July, there's been a frenzy on the left to come up with something, anything, to block my confirmation. Some of you were lying in wait and had it ready. This first allegation was held in secret for weeks by a Democratic member of this committee and by staff. This whole two-week effort has been a calculated and orchestrated political hit. You may defeat me in the final vote, but you'll never get me to quit.
As he went on, his anger gave way to emotion.
The other night, Ashley and my daughter Liza said their prayers, and little Liza, all of 10 years old, said to Ashley, we should pray for the woman. It's a lot of wisdom from a 10-year-old. We mean no ill will.
He referred to the calendars he kept in 1982.
So let me emphasize this point. If the party described by Dr. Ford happened in the summer of 1982 on a weekend night, my calendar shows all but definitively that I was not there.
This is the most unethical
sham since I've been in politics. And if you really wanted to know the truth, you sure as hell wouldn't have done what you've done to this guy. Are you a gang rapist?
No.
To my Republican colleagues, if you vote no, you're legitimizing the most despicable thing I have seen in my time in politics.
Yeah, so that last piece was Lindsey Graham, a former friend of the late John McCain, who has promptly sold out after being a chief Trump critic for years and has now become the biggest ass kisser in Washington to the president and his administration, likely auditioning for a job as attorney general if Trump ever mans up and fires Jeff Sessions, as he intimates he wants to do. Did either of you guys watch the hearing yesterday?
Yes, I did. Well, you know, she's obviously telling the truth. I'm sorry. But like, even the Republican senators didn't suggest at any point that they thought she was lying, which is what I don't get. Like, it's, oh, yeah? Yeah, that's too bad. It sounds like a really terrible thing. Okay, let's vote for him. Like, and also, the thing that's driving me nuts, by voting in favor of this guy, you're not, or voting against the nomination, you're not convicting him of a crime. You're not sending him to death row. It's a job interview. And anyone with that kind of allegation against him would not get the job. Like, it's, I understand why they want to do it. And I understand this is the entire reason why they have stuck with Trump for as long as they have, because they want to load up the Supreme Court. They want to get an anti-abortionist on the Supreme Court. I understand why they're doing it. But it's just, he also the temperament, take away all of the horrible allegations that we heard, which absolutely seemed true, right? She was upset. You can tell it was very painful for her. She moved to California to get away from it and then had talked about moving to New Zealand when she heard that he was the Trump pick. Like, I'm sorry, she's not mistaking him for someone else. She's been keeping an eye on this guy since it happened, right?
Well, and I think it's important also to, sorry to cut you off, Leanne, but I think it's also important to mention that she did not come forward with these allegations after he was picked. In fact, when the shortlist was talked about in the media, she actually alerted her congresswoman that
way back
before the nomination even happened, she alerted her congresswoman that she might be able to alert the White House that there was questions around Mr. Kavanaugh. And this whole idea that the Democrats, which in an absolutely brutal, you know, display of temperament. I can only imagine what this guy's...
How about the temperament?
Well, I can only imagine what this guy must be like drunk, because he's pretty angry when he's in person in front of a committee, and he was grossly political. He accused the Clintons. Kavanaugh had sat on the Kenneth Starr investigation into the Clintons in the 90s. He attacked the Clintons. He attacked the Democrats. I mean, he was sneering. He was angry. He was entitled. He was absolutely everything you would expect from some prep school asshole like him. And the fact of the matter is, you know, Lindsey Graham talks about this sham. Well, the biggest sham is the fact that they aren't allowing, or weren't up until Flake potentially may have gotten something on this one today, they weren't allowing an FBI investigation. They're not talking about the other three women who are coming forward. Stormy Daniels' lawyer, Michael Avenatti, is going to be releasing things this weekend about gang rapes that Kavanaugh was apparently involved in. But if you look at even what he was talking about in the hearing, they were asking him things that he'd written in his notebook or his yearbook, things like the Renati alumnus. And he says, well, that has nothing to do with sexual stuff. We were just friends with Renata, even though in other pieces there's a crude poem about if you don't have a date and it's getting late, call Renate. Then there was other stuff where he lied about what's called boofing. Boofing, he said, was flatulence when asked by Chris Coons. Of course, that's not actually true. It means to fuck. Or it can also mean to be taking beer up the anus. And then his whole lie about this multiple F 4th of July party that they had gone to. He says that it was making fun of his friend who has a stutter and says, fuck, as opposed to just saying it straight out. Of course, that's not right either. Those multiple Fs talk about finder, fuck her, finger her, flip her, and forget her. And then he also says that the Devil's Triangle, which he also references in there, is nothing more than a harmless drinking game played with quarters. In fact, when you Google Devil's Triangle, you can't find anything about a drinking game, probably not until Brett Kavanaugh released it. You can only find stuff about how Devil's Triangle is in the Urban Dictionary as a sexual act between two men and a girl. And that sounds to me what Mark Judge and him were trying to do to Dr. Ford in that bedroom 35 years ago. Mike, what do you think?
Well, I've got two things to say. The first thing is, when we talk about his temperament, you have Dr. Ford, whom I believe, I mean, her testimony was entirely believable, but had she acted like Kavanaugh did in his testimony, she would have been called hysterical, unbelievable. The double standard that we hold men and women to, crazy. But then Lindsey Graham and Brett Kavanaugh come out and they act inappropriate. This guy's trying to be on the Supreme Court judge, and everyone's just like, well, he's defending his good name. You know, it must suck to be, you know, falsely accused. That is bullshit. The standards that Dr. Ford are held to for her testimony are way different than the standards of Kavanaugh, and she came out way on top. The second thing I want to say is, you know, Leanne is right. This is a job interview, and in order to be on the Supreme Court, you need to have integrity and you need to have honesty. And the fact that, you know, very easily some of the lies that he said in his confirmation hearing have been, you know, exposed, that enough right there is for them to say, you know what, we're not going to confirm you. Like, you're not telling the truth. You're dishonest. We have to have a rape trial and he still might get confirmed. Like, what?
I know.
Like, what the hell is going on here?
Well,
and for the Republicans to say this is partisan, none of this shit happened with Gorsuch.
None of it. That's right.
Yeah.
Or Justice Alito. Or Justice Roberts. But, you know, we're in a whole new era where President Pussy Grabber can, you know, can assault however many women he wants. And the Republicans look the other way because they want to stack the Supreme Court.
Gorsuch is the same era, Cameron. Gorsuch was like a year ago. It's the same era.
Yeah.
And this didn't happen because, as much as you may disagree with Neil Gorsuch's opinions, he did meet the requirements to get on the Supreme Court. And he did not have the skeletons in his closet that Kavanaugh does. I don't understand why they don't just find someone else to nominate. There's enough conservative judges out there that aren't gang rapists that they can, you know, put on the Supreme Court. Doesn't have to be this guy. And just because Trump can never admit that he's wrong, that's why they keep pushing this guy forward. I see no reason why the Republicans didn't just say, okay, you know what? Kavanaugh's out. We're going to nominate, you know, whoever. I don't even know. And just put him on and he'll get confirmed.
Honestly, today, Trump has been quite measured. He has said, I'm just going to leave it to the Senate. The Senate can do it however they want to do it. Like, I'm not going to get involved. I don't know what's going on today, but in the last hour or so, he's been scrummed or shouted out. Questions have been shouted out to him, and he's been actually managed to stay out of it for 2 hours.
He's been convinced to let the November primary election happen without him ruining it, I think, honestly.
I also want to play
Ivanka,
something here.
Ivanka, well, why would I ever give Ivanka any credit for anything? But you do, I honestly don't understand how you can have watched her testimony and not been moved by it and not understood. And I was saying to a friend of mine, I guess you have to be a woman to have known as soon as you heard her story, there's no way that's bullshit, because I don't know a woman who hasn't experienced something like that, either in high school or in university or in a workplace setting or at the office Christmas party. Like, we've all dealt with those fucking frat boy drunk assholes, and more than once. So there's not a woman I know who really believed that it was bullshit. I've heard women say, okay, but who he was in high school doesn't necessarily mean that's who he is today. Maybe he deserves a pass. Well, I disagree. But that argument makes more sense to me than this suggestion that she's making it up and she's politically motivated. The woman was traumatized and moved away from the D.C. area because she didn't want to hear about him anymore. So,
and it's worth also mentioning, not only did she try to alert the White House before he was nominated, she spoke about it in therapy sessions. She spoke about it with her close friends. She spoke about it with her husband.
Yeah.
Years before, but she would never name him. She said he was a federal judge. I want to just point out one thing that Kavanaugh said, and then I want to go to another clip. But one of the things that Kavanaugh said was about his calendar and how it doesn't say, you know, it shows definitively. First of all, I never kept that kind of a calendar. I don't know who does at that age.
You're like,
But hold on, let me finish. But he says it definitively proves that he was not at that party. Yes. And yet, on July the 1st, 1982, by his own calendar's admission, the individuals that were identified by Dr. Ford were in fact written that they were having drinks at whatever. I think it was Timmy's house. And who else was there? PJ, Judge, Squee. And this house, by the way, when the prosecutor that the Democrats or the Republicans rather had hired to question Dr. Ford held up a map. She said, how far away was this house? And she said it was about a 15-minute drive from the country club. Well, this Timmy guys is actually only 15 minutes away from the country club.
Yeah.
So, you know, he lies about everything. He's a casual perjurer. I keep seeing somebody who has a Twitter account saying, but I want to play this clip as well, because we talk about the drinking and the blackout drunks, but also just his general temperament and attitude. I want you to hear this exchange that happened between Minnesota Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar, and Judge Kavanaugh. He then subsequently apologizes, but I think it's in this moment that really reveals the man's true character.
Okay, drinking is one thing, but the concern is about truthfulness. And in your written testimony, you said sometimes you had too many drinks. Was there ever a time when you drank so much that you couldn't remember what happened or part of what happened the night before?
No, I remember what happened. And I think you've probably had beers, Senator, and so
you're saying there's never been a case where you drank so much that you didn't remember what happened the night before or part of what happened?
That's, you're asking about, yeah, blackout. I don't know. Have you?
Could you answer the question, Judge? That's not happened. Is that your answer?
Yeah, and I'm curious if you have.
I have no drinking problem, Judge.
Yeah, nor do I.
Okay, thank you.
What a dick.
He then subsequently,
well, when he came back, and
he apologizes because he's
wimpy.
Well, but he started. And the thing that isn't caught on that clip is he starts by actually saying, before she starts to question him, how appreciative he is of her because she was so kind. And he thought that she was very, you know, above board in terms of her questioning. And then he proceeds to trash her after she says that her father is an alcoholic. I mean, the guy has this entitled prep school, you know, white privilege, and I'm saying this as a white man.
And it's mostly directed, you may notice, at women.
Absolutely.
He said the nastiest thing to the woman. Also, and here's what it all boils down to. Mike, you were about to say something, and I want to hear what you have to say, because you're always smarter than us.
No.
Bottom line, her side, she wants a full investigation. He does not. Like, to me, that's all you need to know.
Exactly.
Why doesn't he? Anyway, Mike, go on. You were starting to say something very, very brilliant.
I was just going to say that the whole, when he was crying yesterday too, I mean, I saw someone wrote on Twitter today. I love how we get all our news from Twitter. But basically they were saying, you know, him crying is because he's an entitled prep school white guy that's expected everything to be given to him. And he was crying yesterday because he realized he's going to lose it all. And like, fuck that guy, man. Like, it's not about, and I don't even think, I need to think about this a little bit further before I say it, but it's not, for me, I believe Dr. Ford, but for me, it's not about the allegations against him. It's the fact that he's not a Supreme Court judge like that. Like, you have to have respect for the institutions of your government. And right now there's three branches of American government. One of them has no respect. You can't have another branch have no respect either. Or, you know, the season finale of America is going to come a lot faster than we think it will.
Well, and I would also just add to what Mike is saying. 2 weeks ago, Kavanaugh said that he doesn't do politics, or they don't do politics. And yet he took out basically a rhetorical gun on the Democrats and showed himself to be nothing more than a partisan hack that is going to go to the highest court in the land. And I still think he's probably going to get confirmed, because the only difference between moderates like Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, who everybody's expecting are going to hopefully maybe save the Republic here from this ogre going on the court. The only difference between them and the other hardcore right-wing Republicans is these guys screw you more slowly than everybody else. But in the end, they'll still screw you. at any rate, I want you to also hear after today. So today there was a lot of machinations at the committee. Senators Hirono and Kamala Harris, one from Hawaii, one from California, Democratic senators. This is what they had to say when they came out of the hearing this morning. Not the hearing, but I guess the regroup of the hearing from yesterday. This is what they said when they walked out. They were so disgusted by what was going on.
I'm here standing with my colleagues because it's very clear that the Republicans will break every norm, every rule to get this person on the Supreme Court, where he will be there with a cloud. He will weaken the court, and this has got to stop. So I walked out. I'm not going to participate in this charade anymore.
From top to bottom, this has been about bullies. Listen to the people. All we have asked for is that there be an FBI investigation. Dr. Ford came in and she poured out her heart. She cooperated with the process. She gave the process dignity and respect. The least we could do is give her the dignity and respect of having a process that has credibility. We are talking about putting somebody on the United States Supreme Court for a lifetime. For the sake of our democracy and the integrity of our democracy, you would think that members of the United States Senate would say, wait a minute, there's enough here to push pause. Let's reflect on what we're about to do.
Honestly, I am so impressed with both those senators as well as Senator Booker and all the Democrats. But I would say, too, you know, anybody that would call into question what Dr. Ford said, and I have to say, Leanne, you know, you said earlier, as a woman, I believe, and I have no doubt everything happened and that what you say obviously is true, too, in terms of how many other women have had this happen, whether it's in the schoolrooms or in school, in university, at parties, what have you. Well, you know what, though? As a man, I'm very ashamed at what I see. And I see women, I mean, during the hearing yesterday, the calls to the National Sexual Assault Hotline went up 147% because people were so traumatized by what was going on. And this is why women don't come forward. She has absolutely nothing to gain. And what happens? She's got Republicans basically saying she's an attractive witness. That was Senator Orrin Hatch. Others calling her basically a liar or deluded. Deluded, they basically said. Something bad happened to her, Lindsey Graham said today. But at the end of the day, it wasn't Judge Kavanaugh who was involved. And if she thinks that blaming Judge Kavanaugh is going to solve her problems, she's wrong. I mean, are you kidding me?
Well, the thing about Lindsey Graham, you know how he was a real Trump critic and he suddenly is a very big Trump supporter.
Yes.
Well, there's rumors that the Russians have got dirt on him, and I think we could probably imagine the nature of the kind of dirt that they might have on Lindsey Graham.
Yes.
Without saying anything I shouldn't.
It's like PP tape, too.
I think you might know what I'm suggesting.
Yep.
Right. So that could be what's going on with Lindsey Graham.
Well, I want to play one more clip, and that is, so after Kamala Harris and Senator Hirono came out of the committee hearing, there was much ado about what was Jeff Flake going to do. Jeff Flake is the is now the senior senator from Arizona after the death of former Republican Senator John McCain. Everybody was wondering what Jeff Flake was doing because he was viewed to be a swing vote. And now by way of background, Jeff Flake has made a name for himself of late because he seems to trot down to the well of the Senate to deliver very sternly worded speeches against the president, against the way that politics has been coarsened in the United States, how the Senate is acting unethically in so many ways by just doing whatever Trump wants. And then he promptly turns around at every turn and he votes for whatever crap sandwich, Mitch McConnell or Donald Trump put in front of him. So today
it does look like today he might have fucked them over, right?
But what did it take for him to do it? Well, earlier in the day, he had released a statement saying that he would vote for Judge Kavanaugh. Then he's going down to the committee hearing, and this is what happens when he encounters somebody outside the elevator that he's taking to the Judiciary Committee.
That's what you're telling all of these women. That's what you're telling me right now. Look at me when I'm talking to you. You're telling me that my assault doesn't matter. That what happened to me doesn't matter. And that you're going to let people who do these things into power. That's what you're telling me when you vote for him. Don't look away from me. Look at me and tell me that it doesn't matter what happened to me. That you'll let people like that go into the highest court of the land and tell everyone what they can do to their bodies.
Yeah. That and
23 years old.
Yeah. This was a sexual assault survivor encountering Jeff Flake on the elevator. I can't listen to that without getting a lump in my throat. I think
her mother never knew it had happened to her. The first she knew of it was seeing that clip today.
Oh, is that
so,
right?
You know, good for him. Yeah. And, you know, if that's what it took for him to then come out and say, hey, look, we need to delay this for a week and we need an FBI investigation. Good for him. But never underestimate. I was saying to my daughter, who's absolutely enraged. She's, you know, she's 27 and she just cannot believe that this is the world she's living in. Never underestimate the power of protest and getting right
absolutely
in fucking people's faces. Stand up for what's right. Get out onto the street and march. Never underestimate the power of that. Because these guys, I mean, I think this is going to kill them in the midterms if they're not already. Like, I was reading quotes in stories from women in blue, in red states who were affiliated with Republicans in terms of voting, who were appalled. So I think they've just screwed themselves if they go with this guy.
Well, and it's worth noting, too, that Dr. Ford's family are Republicans. In fact, they socialized with the Kavanaughs as well. She is completely believable. Also worth noting that Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court is in fact one of the most unpopular nominations. He's seen his numbers drop from people being in favor to now 50% of Americans being opposed. But it all hinges, folks, on Senator Susan Collins, purported moderate Republican senator from Maine, who apparently is worried that if she votes no, she's going to be primaried. But if she votes yes, she's going to lose. So that tells you all you need to know about where her compass is. Murkowski up in Alaska, again, another weak-willed Republican who will do whatever Mitch McConnell wants. Jeff Flake, who advanced it to the floor today, but with some sort of a gentleman and gentlewoman's agreement that there would be an FBI investigation. But does anybody actually believe that Mitch McConnell, this guy is an absolute troll, and is really going to hold off a week to allow this investigation to take place, and that it's going to change anybody's mind?
Well, no. You know, more may come forward, right? But, Mike, I'm going to let you tee off on the thing that we learned today about a certain someone's favorite U.S. president calling up Republicans, urging them to vote.
For anyone that listens to this podcast regularly, we know that Cameron, this is Cameron's podcast, and he is a progressive liberal individual, but he does have a soft spot for the 43rd president of the United States, George W. Bush. He loves that family. I think he was legitimately heartbroken when Barbara passed, and he loves the Bushes. And he found out today, or I don't know when he found out, but he told us today that apparently his good buddy George W. has been calling calling people trying to push the Kavanaugh vote through, and you could feel the heartbreak through Facebook Messenger. And Cameron, take it away.
I will say, there's not very much that makes me disappointed in President Bush 43, but I will tell you, I actually have some tears right now in my eyes because by way of background, Brett Kavanaugh did work in the Bush White House. He was actually appointed to the appeals court, the Federal Court of Appeals in the United States by the Bush administration. I believe it was in 2006. But before that, Kavanaugh did work in the Bush White House. So there is obviously some amount of loyalty at play. But I've always believed, and I still want to believe, that President Bush is rock-ribbed patriot. I believe that he is a good and decent man, but I am profoundly disappointed today by him calling Republican moderates like Flake, Murkowski, Collins, and others trying to sway them on this vote. And I just, it kind of does break my heart a little bit because I expected better than that from him. I really...
About twin daughters.
He has two daughters. He has a granddaughter. He has women in his family. On this one, his moral compass is leading him the wrong way. And that is very sad for me to see that. Very sad indeed.
I don't know if I have a lot of sympathy, though. The fact that if this is what makes you turn on George W. Bush, then, I mean, good on you. But
I'll never turn on him, but this is certainly a bruise that is going to take a long time, if ever, to heal. Like, I truly admire him, and except now I am very angry at him. And very angry. And
Send him an email, write him a letter. And you know what could happen? If we could get Michelle Obama to give George a call because he loves her.
They do.
Say, George, what are you doing? Right? George, what are you doing?
Yeah. Heartless.
You've got to give up on your rat-faced frat boy.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's move on. This is so we'll see what happens in the Senate. We'll see if this gentleman and gentlewoman's agreement stands forward. But I believe Dr. Ford, and I believe women when they come forward like this, and I am furious that we are having to witness this kind of crap going on when a credible individual comes forward with an allegation like this. She even said it would be like throwing herself in front of a train, and that it would amount to nothing. At any rate, it's...
Trump apparently just said, I'm just reading a pool report, that Ford's testimony was compelling and credible.
Yes.
And adding that he wasn't sure if the nomination should go forward. He called her a very fine woman, and that she was certainly a very credible witness, he said to pool reporters at the White House.
Yep.
So go figure.
Yeah.
We're living in crazy times.
We are indeed.
Okay, are we moving on to...
We got to move to the Governor General quick, because I know Mike's Mike's truncated today. Well... It is and it isn't.
Trump.
So Julie Payette, our astronaut governor general, apparently hates her job. The National Post, had a very large, article about how her turbulent first year has set off alarms in the Privy Council's office, in the Prime Minister's office, and across the government. She apparently doesn't like the idea that she should be rubber stamping acts as they come into law. She she is lazy by all accounts. In fact, she's undertook a review of traditional patronages that the Governors General have supported for years, but that hasn't been done, and people don't know whether or not they're going to continue to, you know, have her as a patron. She got uppity about having to change her schedule to accommodate royal assent, which is primarily her main job on the cannabis bill. She has not visited all the provinces, as is normally the custom or the convention, I guess, when you come into the office. Manitoba, of course, she has not been there yet. She has also decided that she's going to start attending orders, the meetings of the Order of Council Committee, which is, again, a contravention of convention since at least the early 1980s, because she should just take their advice and sign off. She's been attending those meetings. She doesn't live at Rideau Hall either. She is living right now at Rideau Gate, which is the government guest house. The line is that she is living there because Rideau Hall is under renovation. But the reality is, it's actually livable for her to be at Rideau Hall. She doesn't want to live there. She goes jogging without her security guards. What gives? Is it time for Julie Payette to blast off? See what I
did
there?
Did you work on that line?
It just came to me. Came to me.
There's no way that just came to you.
It really did. It really did. I'm that quick.
Amazing.
Thank
amazing.
You.
Who cares?
Wow.
No, seriously though, it's like a stupid job. It's a stupid job, and I bet you most Canadians don't even know who the Governor General is, because they're only useful to like a fire alarm that sits there dormant unless they have to be pulled, which in my story of the week they might have to be, but we'll get to that in a second. But like, seriously, I don't care if she likes her job or not. Then quit. Who cares?
Leanne?
No way.
Well, if this is all true, like, what does she think she's getting into? Like, who can't relate to getting into a job and thinks, oh, it's got a prestige title, right? Like, oh, yeah, that sounds like it'll be great. And then you get into the job and you fucking hate it. Like, we've all been there. It's like, oh, my God, what have I done for a big title? I'm doing something that I hate. We've all been there. I can relate. But did she not? Did she not know what the job entailed? I'm just a bit confused.
It's not like this is a shitty gig, though. It's not a shitty gig. She's got two official residences. She's commander in chief of the armed forces. She has, you know, a fleet of servants. Sure. You get to do fancy things and have nice parties. You do it for 5 years and then you fuck off. You know, what's wrong with that? Just, Julie, what's the problem here? What planet are you on?
Oh, another one.
Stop. Quit while you're ahead.
I'm just confused that she didn't know what the job entailed. I'm puzzled by that. And I can certainly understand somebody. She's obviously very physically fit. She's a doer, right? She likes to go and do things. She wants to go out into space and walk and fix the Canada arm or whatever she was doing up there. I'm still not sure. I honestly don't know. I was at one of the launches too when she went up. Like, I was covered one of her launches. But in any event, she's a doer and a scientist. It probably just seems so boring to her now. But I'm just curious as to what she thought the job entailed. And what happens? Have we ever had anyone say, you know what, I don't really like this job, I'd like to not do it anymore? Like, what happens in that situation?
Well, the rumor is that the government has created this ambassador of women security for women, security and peace, and that might be apparently an off ramp that Julie Payette might take. I don't know. She did an interview recently.
They make it look good.
Yeah, but then she did an interview recently and basically defended herself and the slow rollout of things.
Yeah.
She was never a good fit.
You kind of have to.
It shouldn't have been a white Francophone woman from Quebec. It should have been an Indigenous woman who has, or an Indigenous Indigenous person here in Canada should have been in that role. If you were really serious about reconciliation, it should have been one of those and not somebody that just played well for the base in Quebec. I just think, you know, it's a disaster. She hit the Milky Way of opportunities. And
wow.
I know.
I'm going to hang up soon if you keep doing that.
All right. Let's move on from Governor General Lazy to stories of the week. Well, she is lazy. Give me a break. Oh, I'm so sorry. My name's Julie Payette. They put a flag up every time I arrive and I get to go to parties and I have beautiful homes and I hate my job. Yeah. Okay. You know what, Julie? If you don't want to do it, I'll do it. And I'll do a hell of a job too. At any rate.
Oh my God.
I would.
George W. Bush would be on our stamp.
Listen, I'm not stargazing here. I just know that I would do a hell of a job. I would be like, it would be like a comet of excitement for me. Okay, now it's getting weak.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah, that's rough.
All right, I know. Okay, stories of the week. Mike, you're up first.
Why are we talking about the provincial election in New Brunswick?
Oh, right.
Because
what a mess.
It's pretty awesome. God. It's amazing.
Speaking of who cares. Oh, yeah, sorry, go on.
No way, man. This is interesting. You have the losing party going for a confidence vote because they only lost by like one seat, and who knows what's going to happen. I mean, I can't think of this happening before. Cameron, when's the last time it's happened that the losing party is going to go for a confidence vote to try to keep power?
Okay, well, first of all, let's just explain to our listeners. The New Brunswick election ended with 22 conservatives elected, 21 liberals, 3 People's Alliance, which is an anti-Francophone conservative party, and 3 Greens elected. The PCs got 32% of the vote. The Liberals, led by Premier Brian Gallant, received 38% of the vote. Under the Westminster system, they are allowed to test the confidence of the House, especially when it is unclear who can govern. Now, today, the anti-Francophone People's Alliance said that they'd agreed to prop up a PC government for 18 months, which, you know, fine. If the Conservatives want to get into bed in a bilingual province with an anti-Francophone party, then all the power to them. But I don't understand what the problem is. In fact, I don't think look, we saw this happen kind of in BC. There is no problem with testing the confidence of the House and the system that they're in. I didn't particularly like Christy Clark's Liberals out in BC. They were conservative. They knew they were going to lose. They chose to test the confidence of the House. They lost. Life goes on. And it's the same principle here in New Brunswick. So to me, it's not that big of a deal. Just let the system do its job. Okay, Leanne, your story of the week.
Okay, sorry, I almost nodded off of your two boring stories. the Trump news conference, did you guys watch that?
The one that he...
No. Like, even the... Or it just went on for like 90 minutes after the UN, and even like, well, even the Washington Post, you know, people basically came right out and called it an insane news conference. He, you know, he threw shade on George Washington. He speculated on China's respect for Donald Trump, speaking of himself in the third person. Very, very large brain.
Oh, yes.
He shit on Chrystia Freeland without naming her. It was nuts. He just went on and on. He claimed that, Trudeau had been calling, trying to set up a phone interview, a phone conversation with them, and the PMO came out and said, no, that never happened. We've never done that. He said they didn't like the Canadian representative. It just was this freewheeling news conference of complete insanity. But of course, my favorite moment of the week is all his ties to this, is when he got up at the United Nations and said his administration had done more for those,
awesome.
Whatever, more than, and people burst out laughing.
I know. That was beautiful.
If you can find the clip, that somebody's mashed up a Seinfeld episode with that clip, which is really, really
speaking of, though, this is, Leanne, sorry to interrupt here, but
Yes, sorry.
Fox News tweeted the clip, right? And what's really interesting, and this is almost scary in a way because it backs up the whole state media thing, but Fox News edited out the laughter when they were showing a clip of that news conference.
Yeah.
Well,
I know. Although one Fox News commentator actually, and it wasn't the usual one, it wasn't Sam or Shep Smith, who hates Trump. One usually very pro-Trump commentator actually said it was an insane news conference, and mocked him for being laughed at. So it almost seems there's times when Fox News is turning on him.
Can I also just point out, and this could be my story of the week, but it comes again about Donald Trump, or should we say Toad Dick from Mario Kart. Can we talk about the fact that Stormy Daniels said that he has a giant mushroom head, a small little shaft, and Yeti pubes?
No, I don't want to talk about that.
Like, I actually had to figure out what, well, I asked you guys, and Mike, you were kind enough to send me a picture of a Yeti, but I was like, what are Yeti pubes? Like, what is that? I mean, now I can never play Super Mario Brothers again, because all I will see is Toad and think about Donald Trump screwing Stormy Daniels.
Yeah.
Is that really where we're going to leave people off?
I don't know. It's like, I know it's like a meme being burned into people's mind, but like a very poor version of a meme.
Tell another space joke and then we can go.
I can't tell any more space jokes. I'm just, I've got a failure to launch.
You just know he's a premature.
A failure to launch.
Goodbye.
Right?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But he's a premature ejaculator.
Well, she even says too in the book.
There's just no way that guy has had his dong in a vagina for longer than 2 minutes.
A dong in a vagina.
let's just leave it at that.
All right.
He oozes, pardon the inappropriate use of that verb, premature ejaculation.
Yes, he does. He really does. President Toad. I love it when Leanne thinks that it's a good joke. When Leanne laughs, you know it's funny.
My own joke.
Exactly.
But I'm laughing at my own joke.
Good. On that note, we'll let Mike and Leanne off for the week, and we'll
Goodbye.
Be back next week. For our U.S. listeners, please keep calling your senators. Tell them that this nomination is a travesty. Stand up and stand with Dr. Ford and what's right for
your
country.
Get in their faces.
That's right.
Okay.
Reach for the stars.
Reach for the stars. Ciao, everybody.
Bye.